and one of those is undoubtedly the fiction of the Australian Margot Lanigan, whose collection of short stories, Black Juice, has just been published in the UK. It's an odd, disturbing and strangely touching read, each story taking us into a world that's kind of like this one, but as though experienced in a dream, or more often a nightmare. In Wooden Bride, for instance, a young woman keeps getting lost on her way to what turns out to be a subtly sinister wedding. In Yao Linen, a young boy orphaned by monsters tries to befriend another child, but even though he saves the child's life, he's rejected because, as an orphan, he's an outcast. And in the first story in the collection called Singing My Sister Down, a boy has to watch as his sister, Icky, is slowly and ceremoniously drowned. When I spoke with Margot Lanigan on the line from Sydney, I asked her where these stories emerge from and whether she sees them as interconnected.
Well, I see each one independently. When I was writing them, I was working full-time and I really didn't want to be where I was. And so I used to spend my commuting time writing these stories on the train to and from work. And the main thing I was after was somewhere different every couple of days where I could go and exist and not be in the here and now. So really there's a kind of an African-esque world in Singing My Sister Down. There's a medieval world in My Lord's Man. There's a kind of cross between Paris and Berlin in Red Nose Day and an Indian story. And really it was kind of a world tour and a time tour of strange places.
What's so extraordinary about the stories is that you don't spell out to the reader at all how these places operate, but we get an absolutely strong sense of there being a social system, mythologies and religion, and even the way people talk, although it's English, is a kind of different sort of English. How much was that the pleasure for you, just creating these other worlds?
That was a great part of the pleasure. They're actually the kind of stories that I like to read. I don't like a big info dump. I don't like to be told everything. I like to find my way through a story. So I'm just being arrogant and assuming that there'll be other people out there who like to read stories like that and not have too many clues, but enjoy the hunt, really.
There's some quality about, in fact, most of the stories, which is almost as though they might have been inspired by nightmares. If we just look at the first story in the collection, Singing My Sister Down, you know, you have a young woman who's being executed for murdering her husband, and she's being allowed slowly to sink into a pit of tar. And all around the kind of pit, people are picnicking, the family of the victim having a good sort of knees up, and her own family are there feeding her crab claws and singing to her as she just is smothered by the tar. I mean, where does that come from?
Yeah, my mother asked me the same question. I was inspired by a documentary I saw about a town that did have a tar pit like this nearby, and people would go down there in the wintertime and just stand on the tar for a little while to warm their feet, but they couldn't stand there too long or they would sink down. And it wasn't really a very big leap to make to think that humans somewhere at some time would use these tar pits as a form of both punishment and of covering up the fact that this punishment had been undertaken. So if you wanted to get rid of awkward members of your society, you could just go and make them stand on the tar and they would sink away and you would never have to really be bothered with them again. We started up all the ordinary evening songs for putting babies to sleep, for farewelling, for soothing broke-hearted people, all the ones everyone knew so well that they'd long ago made rude versions and joke songs of them. We sang them plain, following Mama's lead. We sang them straight into Icky's glistening eyes as the tar climbed her chin. We stood tall so as to see her, and she us, as her face became the sunken centre of that giant flower, the wreath. Dash's little drum held us together and kept us singing, as Ick's eyes rolled and she struggled for breath against the pressing tar, as the chief and the husband's family came and stood across from us, shifting from foot to foot, with torches raised, to watch her sink away. I still find the stories quite affecting when I go back to them, particularly Singing My Sister Down, which is not one that I can actually give readings of. And every time I've had to go back to it and proofread it, I've had to cry. And I always get to sort of right near the end and I'm thinking, oh, this time I'm going to make it through. And then I get to the last paragraph and I go and I lose it. I'm not quite sure where these things come from, but they must come from somewhere fairly down deep, because it gets me every time, particularly with that story.
When you finish reading your stories, or at least when I finished reading each one, I was left with this kind of very unsettled, strange feeling. Do you feel a bit odd when you've finished writing one?
In the process of writing, yes. Probably if I've actually reached a point of completion and I can see where the story has got to go and I've got it to that place, it's more a sense of satisfaction. But probably while I'm in the process of drafting the story, I suppose I'm listening to that unsettlement and trying to work out how to build it into the story.
A lot of the stories are narrated by children, in fact, quite often boys. Why is that?
I'm very interested in the way children and teenagers process the world and work out exactly what's going on, and that the fact that every experience that comes their way for the first time is going to mark them in some way. I think that kind of fresh experience of a completely new idea that's never occurred to a child before or anything like it is what attracts me, where they actually see their whole world transformed completely.
The stories are all disconnected, but there are themes that run through them. And in several of the stories, I'm thinking of Red Nose Day and Yao Linin, about those really gruesome monsters. There's a very strong sense of anger, I think I'd call it, at how the marginalised and the underprivileged are betrayed by people who either should be on their side or could be. Yeah. Is this a kind of political thread running through the stories?
I wouldn't say it's a conscious political thread. I would say that probably people who are a little odd or a little on their own in society, how they manage to function and how they try to connect with people is probably a theme of mine. But I'm never really thinking about themes and I'm never really thinking about politics. I'm thinking about a particular person in a situation headed for some kind of either disaster or revelation. And all that other equipment kind of grows up around it as I write. So it's not really a conscious process at that level.
Could I just finally ask you something about the shape of the collection as a whole? The last two stories, Rite of Spring and The Point of Roses, felt to me very optimistic, as though they were just turning, having gone down into a dark place, they were coming out of it again. Were they deliberately placed at the end because of that?
Well, in the Australian and the US editions, there were only 10 stories, so it finished on Rite of Spring, which, yes, does give you a nice little up note to come out of the collection. The Point of Roses is an extra story that was put into the UK edition. But, yes, it is optimistic as well. It's a marriage in difficulty that turns a corner and looks as if it might function after all, which I think is probably, as one reader said to me, you put them in this order, but we're not necessarily going to read them like this. We come at short story collections like a box of chocolates, you know, and we skim around and we try this one and that one. And so you can calculate all you like, but readers are going to really have their way with the order in the end.
Margot Lanigan talking about her short story collection, Black Juice.